الحمد لله رب العالمين، الصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، أما بعد. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا أطيعوا الله وأطيعوا الرسول وأولي الأمر منكم، فإن تنازعتم في شيء فردوه إلى الله والرسول إن كنتم تؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر ذلك خير وأحسن تأويلا. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا يجتمع أمتي على ضلالة. رواه الطبراني. Respected elders, ulama ikram, asatidai idam, and fellow classmates, most definitely to undertake this task of addressing the ulama in front of me is definitely very hard upon me, and I am very much shaking today. It's probably one of the first time I'm addressing ulama. I'm just a student actually, just making takrar and repeating back to the asatidah that sabak that I have learned from them. So it will be a means of me repeating my sabak to myself. And with that niya, I've stood in front of you making dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes the task easy for me. This is not a lecture, neither a bayan. It's just an answer to a question, an objection, rather a misconception and a misunderstanding. Today in age, many of those questions and objections that are lingering in the minds of the people outside, and the people are giving and taking with regards to these questions to one another. The types of people that are making these objections, to tell you the truth, they do not even have the capacity to understand the answers to these questions that they make. It is very easy to go to the doctor and tell the doctor, why did you prescribe me this medicine? Why not so and so other medicine? Why not any other medicine? The moment the doctor sahib is going to start speaking and he will start to open up the terminologies that he had learned within the course of his 10 years, 15 years of studies, that's when this person will say, I'd rather just blindly follow you than ask you any question. So this is the reality of those people who make these objections. It is very easy to say taqleed is shirk. That man who made this objection never understood the mafhum, either the mafhum of shirk, either he never understood the mafhum of taqleed. Which is why this misunderstanding, and most of the times, as Shaykh Muhammad Awama, Damat Barakatuhum, Atalullahu Baqa'ahu, has mentioned, that these people that are making these questions and bringing up these objections are just parrots, really. They yatanaqal, they are taking these, they are hearing these questions from other people, and they are just like a parrot repeating those questions to others, in order to bring fitna, in order to bring confusion in the minds of the layman and the simple believers. This is their purpose. And Shaykh Muhammad Awama, he gives an example as well, that in the Jami'ah he used to teach that time. And he said there was this one young boy, probably 8, 9, or maybe 10, 11, 12, nahaz al-ihtilam, probably almost becoming badil. And he's rattling the whole time, Hasan Basri Mudallis, Hasan Basri Mudallis. Every time he goes anywhere, in any majlis, munasaba bi ghayri munasaba. If there is a need of saying it or no need, he just says, Hasan Basri Mudallis, Hasan Basri Mudallis. So one man, he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stipulated another student of deen who had some understanding, Allah put his mind in his mind, ask him, what is the meaning of tadlis? What does it mean to be mudallis? So that's when this child understood that I'm saying something that I don't understand myself. So this is the reality. Anyhow, the question that I have to answer here is a very simple question, but the answer of which is not in the capacity of many of the people that make these objections to understand. But anyhow, but very simply, logically, I will try to explain in my broken words. So first of all, is taqleed shirk? That's the question. Taqleed, what does taqleed mean? Taqleed means, it comes from a word called qilada. We're not going to go into the technicalities, but it means qilada. That's why when it comes to hajj also, there's a word that's used for putting a necklace, so to say, around the neck of the animal. That also you call it taqleed. In other words, whoever you put this necklace on, you are going to honor this person. And you are going to, this person is going to be, if it's a human being obviously, you're going to follow the person and make this person the leader, so to say. This is called taqleed. And what is shirk? Shirk-i khafi, shirk-i jali, shirk-i atiqadi, shirk-i amali. These things a person will not understand. But simple, shirk is to ascribe partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in many different aspects. So what is this person going to say? That person who says taqleed is shirk, what is he going to say? Taqleed is shirk-i amali. So in that case, he never understood the meaning of taqleed, to say that taqleed is shirk-i amali. The simple reason why taqleed is not shirk is because the ummah has been doing it. The ummah from the beginning until now, until just a few hundred years ago, until 100 or 200 years ago, ummah has been doing it, sahaba has been doing it. Taqleed was prevalent, madhaib was prevalent in the time of the sahaba. For that reason, taqleed is not shirk. The hadith that I've recited to you, it's a very famous hadith. Though Hafiz ibn Hajar in At-Talqis al-Habir says that all of the turuq and the chains of narrations with regards to this hadith has someone or the other who is questionable, but because there are so many turuq, it makes this hadith hasan. And not only that, he says that there are many other mutun as well which aid this hadith, and it makes it very strong. And that is that my ummah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave this speciality to this ummah. And for this reason we say ijma', ijma' of the ummah is hujjah. Ijma', it could be ijma' sukuti, and it could be serious ijma', that the ijma' of the ummah, the sahaba specifically, that's why we're called Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Specifically, especially the ijma' of the sahaba is hujjah for the entire ummah. So whenever the ummah get together, collectively does something, you can have one, two individuals who are munfarid, and they are not in, they are not part of the vast majority of the scholars. One or two people may have some other thoughts. That does not harm ijma', that does not harm the jama'ah. So whenever the Muslim ummah collectively does something, that makes it a proof and a hujjah and an authority to be able to make it a law in Islam. Like in the beginning of Islam, a time the Sahaba had an ikhtilaf that, you know, iksal, the ulama would understand, is it mujib ghusl or not? And the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, he called Zayd ibn Thabit, he said, no, you know, who told you this? He said, umumati, etc., etc. We know all that, okay? And then Umar radiallahu anhu, he said, oh, ya ma'ashar al ansar wal muhajirin, if you are going to keep on making ikhtilaf, what will happen to the ummah? As a result, they made ijma' that if even at time of iksal, you will have to make ghusl. But yet, later on, many people even quote from Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, there's answers to it as well, that he was still pile of this, that iksal is not mujib ghusl. And there were one, two individuals, though it doesn't matter how big they are, but the fact is the ijma of the ummah got together, collectively done something, it could never be a means of deviation for the ummah. So from the beginning of the sahaba until for a millennium years, you find that the sahaba always made taqleed, the ummah afterwards always made taqleed, always followed someone. So there are two groups. In the time of the sahaba, there were three groups. Three ways rather of understanding the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the time of the sahaba when Rasulullah was alive. One was the dhat and the wujud of Rasulullah. Go ask him, he'll tell you, that's it, it's simple. One was ijtihad, one was the hadith and Quran that's in front of them if Rasulullah is not there. But when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam passed away, there was two only. Either you have Quran and hadith and you make ijtihad, either you follow someone. There's only two ways. And that was, there's no third way. So if a person says, taqleed is shirk, so he's saying basically, ijtihad is fard-i-ayn. And no one says that. If you say taqleed is shirk, then the opposite of taqleed is ijtihad. And that means ijtihad is fard-i-ayn. Though, later scholars like Albani and others, they said everyone should make ijtihad. Okay? But they never said that ijtihad is farz-a-ayn. But the moment you will say taqleed is shirk, you will have to say ijtihad is farz-a-ayn. Otherwise, how else you are going to live yourself as a Muslim? So the Sahaba, from the Sahaba time, this book I have in front of me, just quickly, I don't have much time, maybe 10-15 minutes since I've told me, I don't want to take more time. So this is a book written by none other than a very illustrious Shaykh and Ustad of Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah. His name is Ali ibn Abdullah al-Madini rahimahullah. Imam al-Bukhari, just to understand, just a little bit of understanding who this individual was, that Imam Bukhari rahimahullah, he says, مَسْتَصْتَغَرْتُ نَفْسِي عِنْدَ أَحَدٍ. I never felt like I was small in front of any of my shuyukh and asadis. I always felt like, you know, I knew something, I can ask them some questions. When I came to Ali ibn Madini, Ali ibn al-Madini was such an individual, when I sat in front of them, I felt like I knew nothing. He was such a great Bahrul Ulum, Ali ibn al-Madini, that Imam Bukhari is such a humongous individual, is saying that this individual, when it comes to him, when I sit in front of him, I feel like I'm saghir, I'm totally nothing. I'm insignificant in front of him. So this is a book written by that individual. It's Al-Ilal. What is Ilal? That is a whole different discussion. For those students who study hadith, they know that the ulama know what's Ilal. So Ali ibn Madini, he says, لم يكن من أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أحد له أصحاب يفتون بقوله في الفقه إلا ثلاث Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Zayd ibn Thabit, ibn Abbas. كان لكل رجل منهم أصحاب يقولون بقوله ويفتون الناس. Ali ibn al-Madini, he says, in the time of the Sahaba, there was no one such. Imagine, this is not only taqleed, but taqleed al-shakhsi. And this is very, very deep taqleed al-shakhsi. He says, they were so strict that the Sahaba, in the time of the Sahaba, no one was such that he had his students and he had a school of thought. No one had dared to have his own school of thought, have his own madhab, that everyone is giving fatwa, except three such individuals. Who are these individuals? He says, subhanAllah, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Number one, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Number two, Zayd ibn Thabit. Number two, Ibn Abbas. He says, each one of these individuals had a madhab, and they had certain students, that these students from amongst the Sahaba and Tabi'een, obviously, they would go and give fatwa only according to what they gave fatwa. Only according to what these Sahaba gave fatwa. My brothers, Ali ibn al-Madini is telling us something very important. And that is, that in the time of the Sahaba, taqleed was very openly prevalent. And look at Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. He is none other than that individual upon whose fatwas the madhab of the Hanafi madhab is based. And many of us, most of us know this. All of us rather, we know this. That Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, his ustad Hammad ibn Abi Sulaiman, and his ustad was Ibrahim al-Naf'i, whose ustad was Alqama al-Aswad, whose ustad was none other than Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. In the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, he sent Ibn Mas'ud, or rather he took him there, and he sat on the minbar of of Kufa, and he gave khutbah to the people, and he told them that, look, understand very carefully, this Ibn Mas'ud is a very special Sahabi of Rasulullah. I need him more than you, but I am preferring your need over my need, and I am leaving him here. And he was the Qadi of Kufa ever since that time until just before he passed away, in the time of Uthman radiallahu anhu, he passed away 33 Hijri. He left from there, went to Medina, and he passed away. SubhanAllah, in the time of the Khilafat of Ali radiallahu anhu, he came into Kufa and he says, Rahimallah ibn Abd. May Allah have mercy on Ibn Abd. لَقَدْ مَلَأَ الْكُوفَةَ عِلْمًا وَفِقْهًا. It filled Kufa with ilm. This was Ibn Abd, who's Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. So, and from that manhal, that same madhab came slowly, slowly, the fiqh of Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, who are the ashab al-ra'i, and who are the people of ijtihad, Imam Abu Hanifa and school of thought. When Amish one day, you know, one person came in his class and asked him some certain questions, and he tried to avoid him, and slowly he asked again, and then he told him, Abu Hanifa, can you please answer his question? And Imam Abu Hanifa answered him his question. He says, Minayya ji'ta bihi, where did you come with this answer? Imam Abu Hanifa said, you know, Anta alladhi haddathana fulanan an fulanan an fulan, Anta alladhi haddathana kada wa kada. He kept on telling him, you're the one that gave us this hadith, you're the one that gave us this hadith, you're the one that gave us this hadith. Amr said, Subhanallah, Antum atibba wa nahnu sayadin. You fuqaha are the doctors, and we are the pharmacists. We give the medicine, you fuqaha give the prescriptions. We make the medicines, you give it to whoever is needed to be given. So for this reason we understand, similarly, this was the tariqah of athar and fiqh and rai, and then you get the Hijazi method as well of fiqh and ijtihad, and that is Imam Malik's method. And that's a whole long history, where after Imam Malik, Imam Shafi, Imam Ahmad, that which is why these three madhahib differ from this madhab as well. These are madhab historical backgrounds. But anyway, this khulasa of the answer of the question is that taqleed cannot be shirk because the ummah did it. And rather, I tell you something opposite of that, and that is what Allama Kawthari rahimahullah, the final wakil of Shaykh al-Islam of the Uthmani Khilafat, he mentioned, he wrote a book, he says, the name of the book, Ismuhu Yumbiyu an Rasmihi. The name of the book tells you the reality of what's written in the book. He says, Allah Madhabiyya Qantaratul Laliniya. See? The day you're going to walk out of Madhab, that's just the bridge for you to walk out of Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the peace.
Ameen.
Jazakallah.